This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Generation Fusion. I'm your host Andrew, joined with my iron lung lady. Well,
it sounds weird.
The iron maiden of my house, because she keeps whacking me and is mean.
It's getting worse.
Makes me do jobs.
Oh, it's getting worse. He's trying to do a segue into the film that we're reviewing.
She's the matron of the house that keeps whacking me and forcing me to do jobs and making me do a radio show.
Oh, man. Why don't you just say today we're going to be talking about iron lung.
Iron lung, yes. Not the polio one.
No, iron lung. I must admit, it did make me think of the polio.
Do you know why that is?
Why?
Because there are parallels drawn.
Yes.
Like how the submarine looks like an iron lung. Yeah.
Ah, okay, yeah. Well, there we go. So, yes, for those of you who haven't caught on
and
to
also,
it yet.
Blood has iron in it.
Yes. This rather uncontrolled adventure
into
today's
topic.
And
it's a submarine that has air in it. And what does a lung hold in it? Air, but also keeps blood out from the air.
I feel we could have been saving this to talk about once we've got into today's discussion.
We're talking about the movie Iron Lung. If you haven't worked that out yet, then
yeah, we're talking about the movie Iron Lung that Andrew and I went and saw.
Directed and created by Mark Edward Fishbuck.
Yes, who's a
commonly known as Markiplier. What?
Well, I keep going to say stuff, and you keep filling in all the gaps.
No, I don't.
So this was a movie that, as Andrew said, it's done by Markiplier, who's a YouTuber, and they call it an American science fiction horror film.
It's also an indie film.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it a horror film.
It's a psychological horror, because from what I've researched, is psychological horror is less horror and more psychological.
Yes. So a psychological horror is one which isn't gruesome or necessarily as gruesome, full of violence and stuff.
But it
really plays games on your mind.
Yeah. It's not a classic horror film with a murderer that's going to stab you. And in some cases it does time. Psychological gets in your head.
Yes. And so I must admit, Andrew said to me, we've got to go and see this movie, Iron Lung. And I was like, well, what is it? And he said, oh, it's by this YouTuber, Markiplier. And
I said it's by Markiplier because you know who Markiplier is.
I know.
Like Markiplier.
So I said, okay, let's go. We'll go and see it. So Andrew booked us tickets for it. And so
it was tough as well, because back then it was only showing for a few days.
Yes, it was hard. They only had a couple of sessions. And I was like, okay, I don't like going to movies without knowing. I actually like to know how a movie ends before I go to one. I don't like to not know what's happening. So I went and did research on it. I actually went and sat down. I watched a couple of YouTube
reviews.
I read up and I was like, okay, I've got a good idea now. I'm happy about this.
Yep.
And we went, and I was actually, I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I was saying to Andrew, I found it really confusing and I found it hard to follow.
That's the psychological horror aspect of it.
Exactly. And it didn't take away from my enjoyment. I didn't get frustrated and I didn't want to say, oh, this is dreadful. I don't want to do it. I actually wanted to keep watching, even though I was confused. And I listened to another reviewer afterwards, and he said this is the sort of movie that you could go back to again and again, and you get a little something different out of it each time. So I thought, yeah, it's one of the few times that I sat comfortably through something that was confusing and felt okay about it.
And one thing I like about the movie is one thing – that it makes you think is clear is the cut the hard line between what's reality and what's not.
That's what I was going to say.
But also, it looks they make it look like you know we're what's real and what's not. But then by the end of the film, you're like, is this real or is it?
Exactly. And that's what I mean when I did actually like that because you were like, oh, I know what's real. Oh, I know what's made up, what's in his brain. And then you go, actually, I don't know if that's really happening.
Because that ending.
Yes.
I mean, it fits into the law of Iron Lung that could happen. But also, there's so many weird things in it that you could think it's also in his brain.
Exactly. So Markiplier, who, as Andrew said, is Mark, how do you say his first name? Fishbach. He was basically the only actor in it.
Yes.
There were some other characters who made some little moments, but there were some voices, but it was 99% him.
Yeah.
And
which, admittedly, going in, I was like, oh, great, it's another. What's it called when someone does something just for themselves, to make themselves look good because they think they're a good singer? Yeah. Like someone that starts making music because they think they're a good singer, but not.
Yes, I can't remember that. But again,
it's just a guy that has. I thought it was just Markiplier, a YouTuber that has the money. Thought he was a good actor. He thought he was a good actor.
He just wants to do it. He's just doing. He's got the money. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
But actually, surprisingly, he was really good.
Like a lot of people said that they couldn't disassociate the character from Markiplier. I had the exact other thing. I could believe that was not Markiplier and that was actually the character.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was again read another reviewer who said initially he struggled a little bit at the beginning to disassociate Markiplier from the character, but that was probably because Markiplier's inexperience as an actor. But by a third of the way into the movie,
he's been doing it for 3 years already.
Yeah, by a third of the way into the movie, it's like he's settled into the character and you're now not seeing him as Markiplier, but you're seeing him as, what was the character's name?
Simon.
Well, and because they don't actually, you think of him, because they don't actually reference him by the name Simon.
Until later near the end.
So when you're watching it, you give the character the name Markiplier.
Yeah, even though he's the criminal.
Yes.
He's Markiplier. And one thing the reviewers that said they found it hard to disassociate him from Markiplier was, he does the Markiplier thing of screaming.
Yeah.
And yelling and swearing.
Yes.
But, I mean, admittedly, in that situation, putting ourselves in Simon's boots, yelling and screaming and swearing.
I actually didn't have a problem with it being Markiplier.
I actually thought he was oddly calm the whole movie.
He was very good. So the other thing about the story, which is unusual, I feel, for a lot of these movies, there was an implied backstory.
Yes.
Which, if you knew the computer game, you had the story.
But the backstory they had in the game, that in their movie, a lot of that wasn't in the game.
Yeah, and they also didn't tell you much of the. You didn't actually. They talked a little bit about an event known as the Quiet Rapture.
Yes, that's from the game.
But you didn't really know why they were on this moon, how he ended up on this moon, why the moon was full of blood.
Yeah.
Did the planets disappear, or did the stars disappear?
Or did they? Or something I thought is found afterwards is, did they disappear from the universe?
Exactly. So actually, we went in, and unlike some stories that give you. Either the characters what do they do it when the story gives you like a voiceover?
And narration.
They didn't do any of that. They just went in assuming that you knew what was happening.
And if you didn't, they didn't showed matter. You enough.
Yes, so I didn't. I actually really enjoyed it. And again, another one I read was actually from another reviewer who said, considering that the computer game is really only about an hour's worth of gameplay.
And originally there wasn't any lore apart from the opening title, which basically explained what the Quiet Rapture is.
Yes. And so it was like, then I read here that it had a production budget of $3 million.
Do you know how much it's made?
Well,
last time I checked, it was almost $30 million it's made.
Well, it says here, it's and this is on Wikipedia, it has been a commercial success, grossing 42.4 million.
That's a bit more than last time I checked a week ago.
So it's going, and so...
That's 100% improvement. That's 100% more money than they spent.
It is. So, yeah, it was... You learnt a lot of things along with the character, like... He learnt that there was a light, but he didn't know the light was, as you said.
The camera.
The camera. As you said, you sort of thought, well, you can't see through blood.
Because in the game, they don't explain that. It's just a camera.
A camera.
And I didn't really think of that until we were heading to the movie. It's like, you can't see through blood.
Yes, and I think that's probably why they built in that one where he used the camera and burnt the...
Gave them all radiation poisoning.
Gave them all radiation poisoning.
Because it's an X-ray camera. Because how else are you going to see solid objects through blood, which is not translucent?
Exactly. You know, he's put into this iron lung and it's welded shut and its porthole is sealed. Well, you're like, why would they seal the porthole?
Well, because it's going to depths that it wasn't built for.
I know. So they basically took away any visual that he could see on the outside. So, yeah, and you had to try and work out what he was looking at. I couldn't work out how he was navigating because I couldn't really tell from the pictures what he was looking at. I knew they were little outlines of things. But, again.
Oh, so the map is, you know, it's a grid. You've got A1 and stuff.
Yes.
And it's got... Well, I guess they've done an X-ray of that area and have found what it looks like from a top-down view.
Yes.
Just the outline of the area. But basically, probably not on his console, he has a compass and stuff.
Yes.
So the compass is always the orientation of the sub, and the compass is always, you know, north.
Yep.
So if you turn south, then instead of... hard to explain. But instead of on the compass, the submarine... icon just staying north, it turns.
Yes.
It's kind of, because one thing I never realized is that the camera is actually from the front of the sub. Because years ago when I watched people play the game, I was like, we're putting the camera on the side of the sub. You have to angle the sub so that you take photos of the things you want on the side. And I was like, no, it's on the front.
Because it feels like it's the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but begin... Because you've got no orientation of where you are when you're in the sub, that you don't know where front is, where back is.
Yeah. You just assume that where the chair and the command area is, that's the front.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, no. For a story that is quite confusing, part of that was why you kept watching.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good because I don't normally like that sort of thing, but it drew me into it.
And the thing is, I know the ending of the game. The ending of the game is not what the movie happens. Basically, the only similarities between the ending of the game is that your submarine implodes.
Yes.
But I was like, during the movie, I was like, is he going to get out of this?
Yeah.
Because he gets a lot closer to actually completing his mission than you do in the game.
Yes.
But I was like, in the similarities between the game and the movie so far is telling me that his submarine's going to implode when the monster attacks him.
Yes. And it was, but the more you went into the story, the more confusing it got. And this is where you didn't know what was reality and what wasn't, because he'd go into consciousness and unconsciousness, but then you weren't sure if he was conscious or unconscious, or if what he was experiencing was actually real or wasn't real.
There is one reason I think the entire end of the movie is not real. Because no human can rip their arm off.
Yeah.
No matter how stuck it is.
That's
never going to work.
Yes.
There has to be an external force pulling you in order for your arm to get ripped off.
Yes. Yeah, it just really got more and more bizarre the further into it went. You know, they had we started to have this sort of fleshy material growing inside,
which is the blood.
Which is the blood, but then it attached to him, and then,
The thing that gets me is like they reinforce that the blood is, well, I say normal. It's a blood ocean.
Yes,
it's normal in the sense that it is blood and it's human blood. But then why does it solidify and start trying to attack you?
I know. It's all just a little bit. And he went down believing he was the only person who'd ever been first time. But actually there'd been others. But yeah. I don't know if I don't know if it came through clearly that he thought he'd been the only one who'd ever been down before. Although he did ask, has this been tested before? And they said no.
No. But then, you know, it's the same in the game. They don't tell you. You find notes from, well, a note from another person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was interesting because they did have quite a large cast.
Well, but large isn't the word I'd use.
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ten.
That's a small cast because a movie usually has a cast of 100 plus people.
Oh, I know, but considering that.
What type of movie it is, it has a bigger cast than you would expect, considering you only see one person.
Yes, exactly. And you've got all these other voices, but. I think this is part of the confusion, is you don't know if it's a different person speaking or the same person who was speaking before.
Yeah. A lot of the men's voices blend together. I didn't even notice that Jacksepticeye was in the film.
No, I didn't either. I was.
I think he's the guy that he x-rayed when he was welding it.
Well, it says Jacksepticeye was Jack.
And I think Jack was Jack the Welder.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yes, so I did get. It did get a bit confusing, but not in a negative way. I think it was part of it when your voices all start to become a noise. They become genderless and you don't really notice who they belong to. Or
yeah.
I think that's part of it because then that becomes part of his, is it real, is it not real, is it part of his psychosis, part of his mental.
There was a British lady.
Yes, there was a British lady.
She wasn't real. Well, she was real, but she, the one that was talking to him, wasn't
real.
Yes. One thing I think is interesting that I think we briefly talked about after he saw the movie, that kind of ties into what if the planets and the stars didn't disappear, but they did?
Yes.
Is what if the dimension or whatever they're in is either hell or an allegory for it? Yes. I don't think it's an allegory because nothing else in this movie is symbolic.
No. I mean,
and considering there are massive oceans of human blood, where would those come from? I don't know, possibly billions of people over human history that may have gone to hell.
It'd be a huge amount of blood.
Yeah.
Even just to get a moon covered in blood, I mean. Another thing too that I thought was interesting was, because there's been mixed reviews for the movie, I never really hold reviews because I've quite often really enjoyed a movie and the reviews have been crap for it. So I don't.
One thing I've found is when it comes to movies, any movie, you always listen to the reviews of regular people, not actual reviewers.
Yes. But one of the complaints that some people made was that it was a long, too long. It was a 2-hour movie.
It didn't feel like it was long, but it did feel like it felt long, but it wasn't a bad long.
No, that's what I was going to say, because I can get very bored in a movie if it feels too long. And I've watched some movies where you've gone, oh, yeah, I'm about ready for it to finish now, and you realise it's got another half hour, and you're like, I didn't feel like that in this movie.
And actually, at this movie, at the end on that cliffhanger, I was like, is that it?
Yeah.
Isn't this meant to be a 2-hour movie?
Yes, and I also thought it was really interesting because they've compared it to a lot of other YouTuber YouTubers.
But well, this isn't a movie made by a YouTuber, but it's the first one of its kind.
It is. It's not where, as you talked about before...
it's not Smosh the movie.
Yes, this is actually...
It's a serious movie.
Yeah, and Markiplier just loved. I just wanted to do it.
Yeah, but it now makes sense why over the past few years there have been so many photos of him in hospital with red eyes.
Yes, he went through. It's had used one of the highest concentrations of fake blood. And he. They showed. I watched one review where he. Well, actually, it was Markiplier himself because I've been listening to him talk about it, and actually, it's been really interesting because I watched one of his recently when he was talking about how blown away he was. He said, because you have a fan base, and everybody says, oh, yeah, yeah, we go to the movies. He said, but it's not until you actually see those numbers coming out and you go, everybody's going to watch my movie.
Yeah.
And he was blown away by that. And it's really nice to see that, you know, that humanity. And he's been – he does cry easily.
Yeah.
But it's nice to but see actually, him being touched by it.
Yeah. One thing I didn't realise until after the movie, but I thought was really cool, that it was mainly Markiplier doing the editing as well.
Yes, he did most of the work.
I didn't realise that because he had VFX supervisors and stuff.
Yes.
But that's because I imagine he couldn't have done all the VFX.
Well, no, because he had that. He edited, wrote, starred, and funded.
Yeah.
And he it was. I remember him showing us the hydraulic submarine he used.
The rig, yeah.
And you could hear, he just loved showing it, and you could hear his yells and his shouts as it threw him around a bit.
And not all of those yells were fake yells for acting.
Yes. So.
I just want to know, there was a point in the movie where the submarine gets flipped upside down and he's on the roof. You couldn't flip that rig upside down.
That rig
so did they legitimately flip the submarine itself, or was that done in editing?
Or did they flip the cameras?
Yeah.
That's I don't know.
But he stands up and he's on the roof.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
That's cool though.
I was just reading here, Markiplier confirmed that Iron Lung would contain the most fake blood of any horror film.
That's an achievement.
And he went to hospital due to getting too much fake blood in his eyes.
I feel like getting too much real blood in your eyes is also not a good thing.
He was wanting to beat the 2013 film Evil Dead's 50,000 US gallons of fake blood. His final movie was over 80,000 US gallons.
I think he's beat that.
Yeah.
80,000 is a lot more than 50.
Well, when I look at it in litres, so that's 190,000 litres for
a lot of liters.
Evil's Dead.
Yeah.
And his was 300,000 litres.
That's a lot of litres.
That's a lot. When you put it that way,
that's like an Olympic sized swimming pool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bigger than that.
I don't know. It's massive. Yes, so it was interesting because he turned down a role in Five Nights at Freddy's.
Which I was surprised at because he's the Five Nights at Freddy's guy.
He is, but he did it in order to produce Iron Lung. And the two films had conflicting production schedules. So it kind of, yeah, he had to turn that down.
Well, I imagine Iron Lung had a conflicting production schedule with everything considering it took 3 years. This brings us to the end of our Iron Lung review. What would you rate it on the fusion meter, Mum?
Oh, I would rate it as a solid 9 out of 10 litres of blood.
Yeah, yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's not a movie I would have taken Stephen to.
No,
I don't,
because he would have found it boring.
Yep, I don't think your uncle would have enjoyed it.
No, because it doesn't have any action.
I don't see it as being a movie that...
It's a thing you have to think.
I was surprised that I enjoyed it as much as I did.
I was surprised that he made a movie that only took place in one little set.
That was amazing.
That lasted 2 hours, actually be interesting.
I was actually surprised at how good a movie one person could do basically on their own.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see if they do a sequel.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Because I also wonder if they might do a thing where actually the end of that movie was fake, and he's still unconscious in the submarine.
I'd be interested to see if they re-release the game.
That'd be cool. They've re-released it actually today on PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
I think Xbox too.
And I'd be interested to see if they do a sequel to the movie as a game. There's
a lot in that universe to explore.
There is. Yeah, there's.
Because there's still a massive monster down there.
I know. Think. Yes. So.
But I'd give it a 9.
9. Yeah.
I'd give it a 10, but I mean.
I don't want to get too excited.
No one gets a 10.
Don't want to get too excited.
It would literally be he had to do it all by himself for it to be a 10 and still be that good.
I'd only give a movie a 10 if it was.
A Star Trek movie.
No, if it was a really good movie with. Who's my favourite YouTuber? I can't remember his name. Dan TDM.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, this is our last episode. Well, that Mum and I are recording for a while. You guys will still keep receiving them.
But I will put some postings. I'll put some stuff on Facebook. I haven't done it for a wee while. It's been busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
But I will try to put stuff on there.
But anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, you can go to listen to more episodes at npr.nz/fusion, or you can go to Spotify and search up Generation Fusion. You can also go onto Google and search up Generation Fusion. That works as well. And that also works for going onto Facebook and searching up Generation Fusion, or going onto Instagram and searching at @Generation_Fusion_NPR. And you can do that all on Google. Just search up Generation Fusion, it brings it all up.
Just on Google? Yeah, just only on Google?
Bing works too, but not as well.
Oh.
And if you'd like to help us continue to make content and continue to make better content, you can go to givealittle.co.nz/org/NPR and donate as little or as much as you feel like. We'll see you in what may just feel like next week for you guys, but is probably half a year for us. Anyway, we'll see you all next time. Bye.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.